Greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus. Looks like a lot of you are church brothers and sisters. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. And those of you that are visitors, greetings to you as well. I hope that you find the purpose for which God brought you to this tent tonight. Well, it's not every day that I get to preach or teach or speak in a setting like this. Kind of unique. Like Abner says, between McDonald's and Savot, makes one wonder now, what should you say in a setting like this? I'd like to introduce, for those of you who don't know who I am, I see some of your faces here, but let me just introduce myself. My name is David Cooper. I live on Dry Fork Road in Windsor, just about 15 minutes from here. I was raised in Washington State to the age of 32 years when I moved to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I was educated in 6 different public and private schools. I received my 12th grade diploma in Arlington, Washington. I spent 4 years of college in Glen Allen, Alaska. I spent 18 years in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I moved from Pennsylvania to Kentucky in 2014 with the last 4 of my 10 children. I'm 55 years of age. And now you know me in a nutshell. So what does a 55-year-old man say in a setting like this? Well, if you'd have asked me that 20 years ago, I'd have told you immediately. But now I don't quite know. The older I get, the more I wonder what to say. What could I say that might be worth your while to listen to me? Well, let me say this, that I believe that large movements begin with small decisions made by a few men or women, or one boy or one girl. I believe that. Now, I have chosen tonight to speak about our education system. I appreciate the importance that is placed on education in Kentucky. I believe that it is the responsibility of every parent to see that his or her children receive a thorough and true education in the matters of life in this world. That is our responsibility as parents. I appreciate the impressive list of academics offered to students on the website there of Kentucky State University. If you go there, you'll find they offer a lot of things. I appreciate the medical advancements of the Kentucky University Hospital. And we owe all our thanks to God for this. But while I appreciate the emphasis on education in our nation, I would like to take this opportunity to speak about 4 faults of the American education. Now, my purpose here is to show each fault and a remedy for each, that the blessing of God Almighty might rest again on this nation. It is not my purpose to condemn the teachers who have done their best to influence students for good, though some found themselves in legal issues of others' makings. And I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to correct and to suggest a remedy for the four faults of American education. Now, I want to say I thank God for the freedom that I have to speak like this, granted to me by the Constitution of the United States of America. I thank God for this. I can stand here without fear of any Gestapo or any agent of communism stopping my mouth, because I have been given this right by the authority of this nation. And for that, I thank God. Firstly, American education teaches students the error of Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species. Now, the Holy Bible tells us plainly that the world was made by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And without Him, there was nothing made that was made. The Bible tells us plainly that there is one God for whom are all things. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. The Bible tells us that God has spoken to us in His Son, by whom He made the worlds. Now, American education has adapted the evolutionary theory that the world came into existence by means of an explosion of gases, an incidental formation of plasma, which developed over vast amounts of time into a single simple cell, then through random chance and over vast amounts of time, evolved into more complex life forms. Thus, chance and happenstance is the cause of all the marvels of nature that we see currently, both terrestrial and celestial. Now, at the same time, botany teaches that the cell structure of a single leaf is so complex that it taxes the human mind to fathom the intricate cell structure and life patterns of only one species, let alone the uncountable variety of species of the Amazon River, in which one square mile is different from the rest. Consider the marvel of the human body. I have a son, Dian, who was born without a cleft, with a cleft palate. He was born with a gap in his upper palate. And he had no jawbone joining the upper jaw under his nose. At one point in his treatment, a surgeon cut open the bone of his hip that lies close to the surface of the skin and removing a portion of bone marrow. Removing a portion of bone marrow from the hip, making an incision in the gum tissue under the nose, he packed the hip marrow into the incision and stitched it closed. The bone marrow from the hip, knowing that it was not in the hip anymore, began to grow jaw bone. And it grew a jawbone from the cheek to cheek, into which are able to be inserted teeth that will grow. American education teaches this medical procedure, but yet holds that such marvels developed by happenstance over immense amounts of time. When we engineer machinery, or program electronics, or breed animals, or anything in which we desire a specific outcome, we leave nothing to chance, because we know that it will not turn out for the better, but for the worse. When I visited the Cincinnati Zoo and I see all the exhibits, I marvel that a man or a woman could believe that it all came to its beautiful symmetry and perfection by a multiplication of chance times time. As I was leaving the zoo one day, we made one last stop at the exhibit of that little 36-inch high monkey that lives in a room specially arranged to look and feel like his jungle home. As we watched with wonder, he hangs by one hand from some branch. Then suddenly, he swings and, flying through the air, lands on a tree some feet away, only to make another flying leap to another branch and, without stopping, swing round it 180 degrees and catapult himself round the room from limb to vine to trunk and land with ease on his perch and observe us casually as if asking our opinion of his display of ability. As I watch this exhibit of timing and skill, I ask myself, can I believe that the brain and the sinew and the muscles, the hand-eye coordination, the gyroscopic precision, all wrapped in an attractive, colorful fur coat made of countless cells of specific pigment in just the most attractive arrangement, can I believe that this is the result of eons of happenstance? And who's making up the timetables, I'm asking? Evolutionistic scientists seem to throw numbers out in round numbers of billions of years. But what science are these numbers arrived at? These projected trigonometric extravagances. Would any court of law accept the witness of a man or woman who, when telling the court of some happening, their timetables varied with such disparaging amounts? I doubt it. We are also out of step with most of the societies of the world, even those that we imitate believed in God, namely the Romans and the Greeks. The heathen in the South Seas know that God is, and they make sacrifices to him according to their ignorant notions. The ancient Oriental societies of the world that have existed as nations since the flood of Noah's time, they all attest the existence of God. The fall of communistic socialism was not only the failure of the socialistic theories of Karl Marx, but the failure of mandatory atheism. It was a failure. Communism has failed to disprove that God is, and that He is the creator of the world, and that He is the personal Savior of all who call upon Him in truth. They have failed to disprove that. But our education system is pushing our Creator out of the minds of the students and replacing such high and noble thoughts of God with the false and unreasonable thoughts of Charles Darwin and his atheistic cohorts. But it is only natural for us to give praise to the God of heaven who, by His Son, Jesus Christ, has created all these things to display to all men His power and His eternal Godhead. Amen. Consider the greatness of this fault in American education. The greatness of it is offensiveness against the one who created the worlds. We are offending Him. And I suggest to you that because of this fault, we are in big trouble with God. We as a nation are in big trouble with God. The second fault, the Bible has been removed from the place of authority as God's Word. Our American education has removed the Bible. The Bible has been considered the Word of God since the Gospel first came to the Saxon Isles of Great Britain. When this country was settled, the Bible came with the settlers. There was a day that a man who put his hand on a Bible and swore to tell the truth was considered legally bound and believable. But American education is removing the Bible as the Word of God and the standard to which young minds can look and be truly wise. It is no longer read or referred to by educators across the nation. Its truths are being defamed as lore and its history as legend. Yet many are the men who have walked in its light to greater or lesser degrees. All classes of men have revered it, though falling short of the life contained in its pages. Even the lowest man once swore by it, considered its words the Word of God, and removed his hat at the mention of its holy name. If you will open and browse a copy of Noah Webster's dictionary, you will find many a quotation of the Bible for examples of words. This is because in his day, the Bible was an integral part of the English language and the American people. But American education is looking elsewhere for wisdom. She is dabbing in things that are spurious and questionable at best. She has turned her back to the most precious possession ever contained in paper and ink. And I consider this to be a fault. Yes. Amen. serious fault.
Right.
Number three, we have removed prayer towards Jehovah God from daily life. Now, prayer is the exercise of a man or woman speaking with his or her Creator. The Bible tells us that this was the practice of our first father Adam and his wife Eve. God enjoys walking and talking with his creatures. There was a day when every school in America included prayers to the God of Israel in its daily agenda. Our Supreme Court once opened every session with prayer to Jehovah God, the God of Israel, and the God of America. Prayer was once a daily part of government, as well as many places of employment. But now the use of public prayer has become derision and a thing to be embarrassed about. Prayer before meals was once a common practice in home and public eating places. But now it is discontinued, disdained, and mocked. It is rare to see a group of men gathered to eat a meal together in a public eating place. It is rare to see them pause for a time of thanks to God for their food before they begin to eat. This fault is to our own hurt. We are missing the strength of casting all our cares upon one who has the power to create a universe. This fault in our educational system is creating a generation of men and women who do not know God their Creator, nor have they ever had a heartfelt conversation with Him. Men and women growing up having never spoken to God once. This is a great fault. Fourthly, we have removed God from daily speech in personal discourse, home, workplace, and community affairs. Now, God is the best subject for the human tongue. The Bible tells us that giving thanks to His name is our rightful due, and He deserves it because He made all things. The saints in heaven have declared that God is worthy of man's praise because all things were made for His pleasure. Our speech should please our Maker. But how many times is His name used as a curse word? It is considered abnormal to talk about God. It takes an effort to turn conversation to topics of religion. It's not cool in the classroom to thank God for healthy mind and books to educate the mind. It should be a normal speech of teachers to direct minds of their pupils to gratitude for the God who made them and gave them healthy minds and bodies. That should be natural. Men have grown up in schools that forbid teachers to teach about God openly in the classroom, rearing a generation of children who do not fear God. Thoughts about God and words of thanks should be the rightful due to Him who made us in His own image. How rare it is to hear God being blessed in a conversation in the workplace, or the grocery store, or feed or hardware store. Would not most factory workers shrink to speak of God in the circle of fellow workers at a lunchtime? Yet, there were times in American history when this was reality. To some degree, this is the fault of an American education system that has discouraged thoughts about God, speech about God, and promoted discussion of lesser and contrary subjects. So I'd like to review. There are four faults of the American education system. One is that American education teaches students the error of Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species. It is a fault. They have removed the Bible from the place of authority as God's Word. It is a fault. We have removed prayer toward Jehovah God from daily life. And fourthly, we have removed God from daily speech in personal discourse, home, work, and society. So I'd like to come to a conclusion and the solution. I would like to suggest to you today that we cannot expect repentance from the educational system of America. Systems do not repent. The Statue of Liberty will never shed a tear over the fallen state of this nation. Let me say again, I believe that large movements begin with small decisions by a few men or women or a single boy or girl. I believe it. I am persuaded that these four faults can be changed in each man, woman, boy, or girl in this nation. That choice belongs to every individual. Whether they'll go along with the program or whether they'll stand up and do what is right and serve the God that made them. Each of us can make the decision tonight to forsake the teaching of Charles Darwin and embrace the truth that God has created this world for Himself by Jesus Christ. Each one of us can make that decision. Each one of us can choose to honor our Maker with our lives as we marvel at the universe in which we live. Adding to our marveling a heart of gratitude to the one who made it for His pleasure and ours. We can undo the fault by our own individual choice. Be you man, woman, boy, or girl. Every single soul in this tent has that power given to them by God to choose the right and the truth. Each one of us can choose to honor our Maker with our lives. I said that. Each one of us can choose to dedicate a portion of each day to the reading or listening to the Holy Bible. We can make that choice and say, as for me, the Bible will be my standard of life. The Bible will be mine. I will listen to it. I will learn of it. I will be wise by it. You can choose that. Be you man, woman, boy, or girl. We can look for the wisdom of God for our lives in the Bible. And as we do this, we will find the truth that God has written there. And we should thank Him always that He has given us, the English people of America, a Bible in their own language. We should never cease to give thanks that we have a Bible in the English language. And lastly, any one of us can pray. Regardless of what others say, regardless of anyone what anyone else will think, any one of us can choose to give thanks to God that He made me, that He has given me my life today. That I want to please Him. That's your choice. That's the choice of every soul here. Spend time each day talking with God, and we can undo the fault of American education. Speak to Him about all the issues of your life. We, each one of us, can bring prayer into everyday life of America. These four faults can be changed. One man, woman, boy, or girl at a time. And I'm suggesting here tonight that you're that one. You're the one. Will you all stand to your feet while I pray? God of heaven, now we have spoken to the best of our ability. Do you the rest of the work in your mercy and in your goodness? Would you look upon this group of people and raise up out of it souls that are decidedly to serve you with their lives? Mercy, God. Mercy on this nation. And would you turn and undo the damage that has been done here by your Spirit, one soul at a time? I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening. You can be seated.